Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. This week, we are getting to know the major party challengers for the state's top two offices. Republican Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott will face two opponents in the fall election, and my next guest is one of them. Dean Corin is the Progressive Party's candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you, Jane.
So Phil Scott is a fairly popular incumbent. Why would you do a better job than him?
Well, we're aimed in different directions. I'm motivated to run in this race because we are on the precipice of passing implementing a healthcare system that will make a huge difference in Vermonters' lives. And we're at a point in time where we have some good legislation on the books, and we have a leader in the governor who is not only supportive of it, but who is leading the way. And it would be great if our other general policy statewide office, the lieutenant governor, was pulling in the same direction and working shoulder to shoulder. And I think there's an opportunity to do that. It's going to make a huge difference in the health and the economy of Vermonters' lives. And I don't see the present lieutenant governor doing that. And I think there's an opportunity to do that.
You've been supportive of single payer for more than a decade now. The governor, though, who, as you say, is moving forward with a single payer healthcare plan, has delayed coming up with a plan to finance it. Do you have a plan? How do you think it's financially viable for the state?
I don't have a plan that's in details and 400 pages long, but I do have a set of principles that I've worked on in my entire tenure in the legislature and in other political work and policy work. And those principles are very straightforward in terms of fairness and in terms of gradual transitions from where we are now to where we want to be for funding our own healthcare system. Right now, of course, we're in a hodgepodge of our own and in the federal government, and we're embedded in that, and it's very complex and very unfortunate. And we have to start from those flows of money pretty much and make gradual changes so that we're not hurting any segment of the population or of our economy. And so I expect those principles to be embedded in what the governor does come out with later this year or the beginning of next year. And I would weigh in on modifying them in ways that I think make sense and commenting on them and having an effect in a positive way on making them as fair and as sustainable as possible.
But this is probably going to be one of the sticking points in the campaign as well. And in the campaigns, you know, throughout elected offices, how do we pay for this? You know, in theory, fine, but how do we actually pay for it? And, you know, any concrete examples that you have, having worked on this in the legislature and thinking about it over the last decade, I mean, it just seems like there's a big question right now. And even legislators, we got a note from Cynthia Browning, who's a representative from Arlington, who's concerned about the approach. So how would you alleviate concerns that this is something that is financially viable?
Sure. Well, first of all, I wish it was only a decade, but I wrote the first single payer bill in the early 90s.
Right, two decades, yeah.
So that was a long time ago. The main thing that people have to remember is that we're paying for it now. And the analyses show that by moving to single payer, or what I think might be better termed comprehensive health care, aside from universal, which means you're covering everybody, but comprehensive meaning you're getting your hands around all of the costs. That's the only way we're going to control costs. And most of the analyses show we would save $500+ million in Vermont by moving to single payer. So understanding that we're paying for it now, we're paying for it through payroll taxes, income taxes, we're paying for it primarily through premiums. And all of that would be much simplified ultimately. But in the meantime, and ultimately it will not be based on your employer. So you'll be free to move jobs, free to do what is most economically sensible for you and will help the economy of Vermont in other ways that are even beyond the cost of health care that are suppressed right now. So that's the most important fact. We will be paying less for health care than we would be paying otherwise under the current system. Exactly how much comes out of a payroll tax, exactly, and, you know, which employers are treated in what way, depending on their size and how much comes from the income tax and the other various flows, and trying to remind people that you're no longer cutting a check for those insurance premiums. All that has to be factored together, and it's obviously much more complex than that also. So it's not something that I'm going to come out with an entire plan, because that would just sit on the shelf. So, but obviously I will have input into the governor's plan and what's going on in the legislature.
I'm speaking with Dean Corin. He's a Burlington businessman running for as a progressive for lieutenant governor. He was elected to the legislature in 1992 and served until 2000. Dean Corin, the job of lieutenant governor has only a few delineated roles. So how would you structure the job to further your goals?
That is true. The lieutenant governor presides over the Senate, fills in for the governor when the governor's not around, and does a few other minor tasks, and yet has the opportunity to weigh in on a policy level and on a people level with everyone in the state of Vermont, in every corner of the state of Vermont. And I think that I would be far more active in certainly in pushing the development and the explanation and the feedback from the communities about health care. But then on a range of other issues, I would also be far more present in every corner of the state, not just cutting ribbons, but really listening to people and putting forward policy objectives that I can work with the legislature on and the governor on.
What about policy objectives in the realm of renewable energy and our energy portfolio? You work in renewable hydrology technology. What do you see as the right portfolio for the state of Vermont?
Right. My actual work is in renewable energy. And energy a little bit broader than that also. The wonderful thing about Vermont is that we have opportunities to seize in renewable energy and also in energy conservation. It's not quite as sexy, but it is definitely where a lot of the money is and a lot of the money we export out of our economy that we could be keeping in our economy and employing people here. And we've done a lot in terms of conservation. There's a lot more to do, though. And so there's a lot of investment that needs to go into that that can also leverage private investment. That will be a big boon to our economy. And that really needs, we have just scratched the surface so far. On renewable energy, we have a lot of resources of our own in terms of hydro that we're already using to the extent that we can pretty much, although there's some slight redevelopment there. But we have tremendous capability for wind, and we're way behind the rest of the country on using wind power. We've had a couple of governors who were opposed to it. That's no longer the case. But we're also set behind in terms of planning in a way that makes people feel comfortable that we're not going to develop every ridgeline throughout the state of Vermont and ruin a lot of our values there. So we've really got to pull together and make a plan, something that our society is not that good at doing. Sometimes we set some good rules and laws and regulations, and sometimes we should be planning and looking forward. And we can do that in a way. We pull everybody together who's involved, who cares from an environmental energy point of view, economy point of view, and come up with a plan that will give people a lot more comfort as to what we'll develop and what we won't develop.
A couple of quick questions while we still have you. You're in favor of a state bank. You have some tax policy goals. You'd like to see the state, quote, stop taxing workers' earned income at higher rates than investment income. Where's the daylight between you and Governor Shumlin, and are you going to be seeking his endorsement as you run?
The role of the Democratic Party in terms of my race is really up to them. And as I have said to everybody who's asked, if I get endorsed by the Democrats or if people write me in their primary, I'd be extremely happy to accept their support. And I think that between the progressives and the Democrats, we have the majority of the state far and away, and we'll give this race a strong shot. There are plenty of areas in which the governor and I will disagree, and to the extent that that Vermonters don't like electing a governor and a lieutenant governor from the same party, I'm giving them an opportunity to do that with a slight more movement to the left than what they've had, which is a tug to the right and really inaction on some of these key issues that Vermonters need in their families.
You've also secured public financing for your bid for lieutenant governor. Why was that something that you felt was important to do?
I felt it was critically important to try, because if we succeeded and we had a very short amount of time to do it, it would show that we have a great grassroots statewide group of people ready to volunteer at a moment's notice. And boy, did they step up. And I was just thrilled with the support from around the state, from people who are partisans and nonpartisans, Democrats and Republicans, as well as progressives. And just incredible feedback. We did it in by far a record amount of time. And it also gives us now the resources to run a full-blown, very competitive campaign, no matter how much money the Republican raises from private interests. They will not outspend us 5-1 or 10-1.
That's Dean Corin. He's the progressive candidate for lieutenant governor. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jane.